Welcome to a spooky episode.
Spooky.
Indie film review. Blah, blah.
Do vampires ever go blah? Is that, where did that come from?
I don't know.
Hi, guys. I'm Jared, and that's Dan.
I am Spook Dan.
Oh, Spooky Dan.
Does Dan have a spooky pun? I don't think he does.
I'm sure Dan could work on a spooky pun during this entire episode.
I'm sure he can.
Now, for those who are listening, Spooky Dan is just Dan with a bunch of cobwebs on his face.
Yes. Yes, it is. For those of you who are not listening, what are you doing in my house?
Yeah, what are you doing? Why? What's happening? Did you just turn this on and walk away? Hey, we appreciate it otherwise, you know? If our entire audience was just bots.
That'd be pretty interesting.
I'm into it.
I mean, at least we have a fan base.
Yeah. And once the singularity happens and the AI takes over, hey, who's already got a road?
That's right.
To the AI. Maybe they'll keep us around as their pets. Who knows?
We're like going to be the number one radio talk show in fucking robot land.
And now, Jared and Dan, dance for us, human flesh monkeys. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop. Hey, so this can't be all we do, right?
No. You threw up this wonderful idea that you're like, hey, I went to this cool film festival called the SAC Horror Film Festival.
SAC Horror Film.
Taking place in your hometown, and you're like, I have a great idea for this podcast. I'm going to do something that involves you, Dan, talking to me about these horror movies that only I have seen.
That's right. Well, okay, because I wanted to do an episode, but I didn't want to leave Dan out because I felt like if it was just me talking about it, I mean, it would be insanely entertaining because it's me saying it. But...
Go on.
I thought it'd be really fun to include you, Dan, because the whole point of this podcast is because I like to talk to you. I mean, you're like one of my best buds. So
yeah.
This is what I want to do. I don't want to do a podcast by myself. It's not fun. And you're very knowledgeable about films.
Yes.
So
ones that I have seen.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. So I want to talk to you about these short horror films that I saw at this festival.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the premise, and I want you to guess whether I liked it or not, whether it was good or not,
okay,
and maybe what the film was about. Like, if there's any more to it, what do you imagine the film ends? You know, stuff like that. So it's going to be like a weird guessing game. And through that, we'll talk about my feelings on the short films as well.
I think I can do this. I think...
And if you get it wrong, you have to remove one article of clothing.
Oh, all right. We got it down.
And none of this fucking one sock bullshit, okay? Our audience came here for blood.
Go straight for the shirt. Good thing I'm wearing an undershirt.
That's right. Yeah. Take off your underwear immediately.
Put my pants back on.
Rip it right through your pants. Yeah. All right. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Our first one is called Trick or Treatment and Healing Old Wounds. And it's Dr. Kalman, a therapist whose clients have killer personalities. What do you think this short film is about?
Didn't you just tell me?
Well, there's more to it. Like, what do you think's going on?
Okay, Trick or Treatment. I want to say that this film essentially is about a doctor, as you said. Right?
Okay.
And he is performing experiments on his patients. Like, he's a surgical doctor, and he's transplanting hearts where they shouldn't be, or like, whoa, into patients that don't need surgeries.
That sounds like a fun movie. Do you think I like this movie?
I don't think you like this movie. I mean, here's my input on this. I don't like the title. So to me, I just, if it's not what I just said, then it's definitely going to be a shitty movie.
Oh, dude, this is so fun. I'm already liking this already. Okay, so I think for the scale of me liking it, we can do like, I liked it, it was okay, and then no.
Okay.
I think that's how we'll work it out. I thought this was okay. I actually think that you would like this film a lot more because it's actually about a therapist interviewing all the different movie serial killers from horror films. So everyone is here. All of the killers are here. And they're all done with very elaborate puppets. And the puppets are fantastic. They're beautiful. That's the best part about it. It was okay. It wasn't that funny. But I just think it would really make you smile seeing all these silly puppets. And I don't know. I feel like it would appeal to you more than it did to me.
The avid horror fucking nerd that I am.
Mm-hmm. It was directed by Dan O'Brien. And I think he did a good job. I love the premise a lot. I don't know. I just didn't think it was as funny as maybe he was going.
Was it supposed to be a horror comedy?
Okay. It was a comedy, yeah.
That explains the title. The title definitely sucks, Dan O'Brien.
No!
I'm sorry. I would have named it something else. Prognosis Psychosis.
Oh, damn, dude. That is actually pretty good. Prognosis Psychosis. All right, next one. Has a great name, Murder Cycle. I'm not even going to tell you what the film is about. You can just guess if I liked it.
How do you not know what the film's about? I mean, it's there plain as day. It's about a bicycle that murders people, right?
Mm-hmm. Did you think I liked it?
Am I right? Is that what it is?
Did you say a bicycle?
Yeah, or a motorcycle that murders
motorcycle,
people.
Motorcycle, yes.
Okay,
yes.
That works. That's it's the same fucking thing. It's a bi-wheel device.
Did you say a bi-wheel device?
Yes, a bi-wheel device, a thing that gets you around, a device that gets you around on bi-wheels.
Ah, yes, yes.
I want to ride my motorcycle. My murdercycle. I think you would have thought this film was... See, these films are kind of tricky because I once saw a movie about a killer shopping cart, which was fucking rad.
And you loved it, yeah.
I loved it. So it could it's definitely not okay. It was either you liked it or you hated it.
I like this one. Murder Cycle was good.
Okay, tell me about it.
It was directed by Tyler Turner. I thought he did an excellent job. The only thing that really stood out is he has some extras in the background, and one of them has this blonde wig on, and it was just so ridiculous. It was such a silly-looking blonde wig, and it, like, took you out of the entire film. Because the whole thing looks so professional and well done. And then you get to this guy with a big, big, goofy blonde wig, and you're like, what is going on? I don't know.
Maybe it was American.
The motorcycle talks to the guy that...
So it's basically like Christine, but instead of Christine, it's... What's a good biker name? Like Bob?
It's Bob.
Daryl?
Yeah, it is. It is a Christine homage. And it was fun. It was fucked up. And,
Fucked up. I like those words put together whenever we were talking about horror movies.
So I'm thinking maybe we don't do all of these because there was a lot of them. So let me go down to this one. Cemetery Tales, A Tale of Two Sisters. Yes, that's right. Tales in the title twice.
Tale of Two Sisters is already a Korean horror movie.
Oh, well, okay, so this is set in 1949. A Hollywood star mourns the loss of her beloved sister on the 1 year anniversary of her death. So what do you think this film is really about?
It's a spiritual successor to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Mm-hmm.
The remaining sister is just stricken with guilt because her sister has died and it was her fault to begin with. And
you are 100% correct.
Is it really?
I mean, the film gave me a lot of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane vibes, but does not meet that bar. It just made me want to watch that film.
Exactly.
And not this.
So I take it you didn't like it.
Yeah, I did not like this movie at all. Unfortunately, it took way too long. And it actually had the biggest star power, too. I forget the name of the actors, but there was actually some actors in it that I recognized. It's bizarre because the lead actress... is sad and mourning the entire film. And at the very end, she's like, oh, actually, I killed my own sister. And I'm like, then why were you sad the whole time? It like, her motivations they weren't making sense to what was going on.
What's interesting about this to me is the fact that maybe I've seen too many horror films to where I've correctly predicted two films in a row.
Oh, no. A lot of these films are predictable.
Oh, okay.
A lot of them don't have very nice twists. There are a couple that are... That one was kind of sad for me.
Sidebar. Ready?
Okay, sure.
I want to make a fucking horror film.
Okay.
About the Noid.
The Noid and how to avoid it?
Yes. Like, imagine that. Imagine, like, we repurpose the Noid. For those of you who don't know... what the Noid is.
And how to avoid it. Is it Noid, like a Pizza Hut thing?
You know, it's the Domino's. It used to be Domino's mascot, and it's like this fucking weird looking cartoon dude in a bunny outfit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
like a bunny
jumpsuit. I think he stole Domino's pizza or something like that. But he was in commercials all over the 90s, basically.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Hamburglar of pizza.
Yes, of pizza. But he looks so fucking ridiculous in his bunny outfit that I would love to like have a really fucked up version of him just killing people.
So here's how it works.
Like
if
a cannibal
Noid. If the Noid catches you, it doesn't show what happens. But it'll be like, so if you're in a hallway and you're like, maybe the camera's around the corner of the hallway, like looking at the hallway, you just hear a scream and then just a shower of blood, like a fucking,
yes.
Like you exploded in blood.
Yes.
And that's what happens when the Noid gets you.
Yes.
You just implode.
Well, no, because he unhinges his jaw like a snake.
Oh, like it Anaconda, just,
yes.
One of the greatest horror films ever
and then
made.
Bites you to a point where your whole body just like squishes and blood flies right out of all your orifices.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Avoid the Noid. Absolutely. What would I call it?
Avoid the Noid. I mean,
paranoid.
Pending copyright issues.
Noid.
The Void. The Noid. I don't know. We can't dwell on this.
Annoyed Void. The Void.
Annoyed Void.
Void? Welcome to our show. It's just this for 30 minutes.
Welcome to the Indie Film Review. So glad for you to be here. We're going to talk about some movies. Okay, so here's some more. What a great segue. Here's some more. Let's see. Oh, this is an interesting one. It's called Pipe. When Pup, a young girl living on the fringe of a bombed out town, finds a dead body washed up on the beach, she brings it home and gives it a proper burial. But other people have plans for the body, and Pup's refusal to give it up brings hell down on her and her father's heads. Oh, no!
Alright, I'm not going to give this one correct, but Pup must defend the body because her dad is not an inebriate, but he's
Home Alone style?
Yeah, basically she has to defend the body and her dad. She only has the weapon of a pipe that she finds in the backyard. And so she goes on an insane murder spree with a blunt object protecting this corpse that she found.
So this movie kind of gave me whiplash, but was actually pretty cool. It was interesting.
Oh, wait, you liked it?
Yeah.
Okay. It was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was leading towards an ending that I was going to get really mad at, and then it didn't do it. And I was like, okay, I don't know. It made me feel weird. So, it's like a post-apocalyptic future where people scrounge bodies. They may even eat the bodies. I'm not sure. But this guy owns a bar, and the little girl
called the Pipe
lives. I don't know. She lives with her father at this bar, and she brings this body home. Because she's like, I want to bury it. And the dad's like, we don't have time for any of that crap. And then these raiders come in, these gang members come in. And then they want the body for some reason, I guess to like loot it or something. And the raiders are torturing the dad and doing all this stuff. And they want to take the little girl and like raise her as a raider also. So that part was interesting. It just annoyed me that this dad has this bar. And he has no defense against these raiders because it feels like this is a common occurrence. You know what I mean? Of like, everyone's bad. There's no law anymore. So like, why doesn't he even have a gun or like anyone to help him? Just some dude by himself with his daughter. I'm like, of course you're going to get your restaurant taken away from you. Like, you have to have something. I don't know. It was weird. So then the big twist is the dead body is not actually dead.
Oh.
And it's this lady was just unconscious and she wakes up and she's like a kung fu attack master, and I was like, oh, this is fucking rad. So she beats up all the raiders. So there's a couple big twists. The first one is the hero that you think, this like dead body lady, kills the little girl's father because the father was going to sell the little girl into slavery to the raiders.
Oh, shit.
To have them stop destroying his bar. So he was willing to give up his daughter to save his business. And because of that, this woman kills him. And you're right. Like, that is such a big overreaction. And once that happens, she's like, all right, little girl, you should come with me. And I'm going to teach you how to be a badass and all this other stuff. And then she gives her a gun. He's like, and your first step is you have to kill one of these people and blah, blah, blah. And we can only trust each other. All this other shit. And I'm thinking, like, if this is really the ending of the film, I'm going to be mad. But it's not, because
the woman takes off her mask and she's really a pipe.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know where the pipe comes in. I'm not sure where piping comes in. I kind of forget. I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Maybe
then they meet a pipe hot. And then pipe's like, all right, see you later.
But no, I guess the little girl shoots the woman for killing her dad.
Yeah, pretty much. And then now she buries all of the corpses. So now she's a little girl by herself. And it's like, and then the movie ends. I'm like, that was kind of crazy.
Maybe Pepe, maybe it's pronounced Pepe, and Pepe means bury in some.
Yeah, aching to peepate. Yes. there was a pipe cameo with googly eyes that shows up. What's going on here? Oh, no. It was like a Jim Henson kind of a thing.
Or like Forky from the new Toy Story.
Exactly. We've all seen Forky from the new Toy Story, haven't we?
I have.
Crickets. Oh, I haven't seen Toy Story 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
Maybe that's for the best.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably good. I don't know. Anywho, let's go into more things. It's funny. I'm reading some of these and I don't remember even watching them. One I'll briefly mention called Nightcrawl. Guess what Nightcrawl is, I guess, and if I liked it.
Nightcrawl is about some form of being that crawls about at night.
You did it. You did it.
And
wow, Dan. You're so good at this.
And you liked it.
Okay, they're in prison. I'll give you that. Two guys in prison. So basically what's happening, I did like
they're escaping prison?
Yes. And they're digging underneath their cell. And they accidentally enter this cavern with these crazy monsters in it.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And the monsters look really fucking cool. Let me try to get credit. Gregory Schultz directed this, and he did a great job. I was really fucking creepy. The monsters are creepy. The acting was good. And it has a not happy ending. Let's just say that. Happy ending for the monsters. So there's that. Really enjoyed it. Not really much
to say about
it.
Well, they're criminals. So, I mean... Yeah. It's a happy ending for society, for America.
We support the death penalty here on the indie film by monsters. Death by monsters here. That's right. Injections take too long and they cost too many tax dollars. And I think if we just engineer a freak bioweapon to chew up these dang criminals who've been smoking reefer and selling to my kids.
That's right. I wasn't going that far with it, but now I'm curious as to what would be the cost of maintaining
a bioweapon?
Bioweapons underneath a prison for anybody who tries to escape.
You would have to feed it with human corpses. So.
Exactly. But like I feel like there would still need to be tax dollars that the upkeep for bioweapons.
Anywho, I don't know if any of this will be kept in. Who knows? We'll find out if it's funny or not. So here's one that's really good. It's called Split Decision.
Interesting. I guess I can't guess if it's good or not.
No, hold on. This is the entire reason
terrible at making this a game.
I haven't finished yet.
Okay.
This is one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this episode with you, because I wanted you to hear the scenario. So, a young couple.
Couple of what?
They've known each other for a long time, so let's say... Let's do a scenario of you and your wife, right?
Yeah.
You're at home, you're watching scary movies, and it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you hear a pounding on the door. Boom, 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 right? You go and look, and it's a woman in a bra and underwear screaming for help and screaming to be let in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Fuck that lady. I mean, not literally fuck her, but... I'm not opening the door for
you're
nothing.
You're not opening the door. Okay. All right. So, in the eyes of this film,
I'm assuming
that is correct. That is the correct answer.
They let her in, and then she kills them.
So the whole moral dilemma is the man wants to let her in, and the lady doesn't. And the entire thing is like a back and forth between the two, them trying to decide if they're going to let this lady in. But then, like, the longer they argue, the more you're like, something is up, because why hasn't this lady left yet? Because she just keeps knocking on the door and banging on it, asking for help. And I'm like, something is suspicious about this. So at first I was like, they should let her in. And then I'm like, I don't know. And it turns out that that woman wasn't being chased by a killer, but she was a killer. She was a convict that Ooh. Escaped prison. And she didn't have any clothes on because she got rid of her jumpsuit.
Oh.
So then because they didn't let her in, she went to the next door neighbor's house and killed the next door neighbor. But what makes it really good is that the boyfriend is like chastising and yelling at his girlfriend for not mm-hmm. letting her in. And it's like, look, on the news, somebody died, you know, and they think it was the girl. But then it turns out that the girl was the murderer. So it was actually really well done. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a very interesting short film. I really enjoyed it. And it was done by Scott Riopel. Have I said all the ways Riopel. To say this name? I think I have. And I thought it was really well done. I really enjoyed it.
Riopel?
Okay. So now I want to talk about some of the last two films we'll talk about are ones that won an award there.
Okay.
So it was weird. So I like this festival. The theater that we did it at was a very independent theater. It only had one theater in it, and it was the building was very old. The seats were mm-hmm. kind of lumpy, you know, but that's kind of part of the experience of you going to like an old theater like this. And I thought it was really cool what they were doing, and I definitely right. want to support them. And a lot of very talented films from like very young people. And some of these filmmakers made these films in like a month for like a contest. And you're like, holy shit, this guy is so wow. much more talented than me. He made these films in like a month. So what they did is they had an announcer come up after a lot of the segments and introduce the films and talk about things. Mm-hmm. She brought up two of the filmmakers. One of them was a couple and the other one was this other guy that came up. So one was for Dinner for Six, which we'll talk about, which a couple made that movie, and they made it in like
okay.
a couple weeks, maybe less. I don't know. They filmed it like relatively quickly. And the other one, it's called Helix.
Helix.
So and the guy who made Helix won an award for like best acting in it. They had these two up and they started interviewing them, and they were interviewing the first couple, and then they just had like the first couple awkwardly stand there while she interviewed the guy, and then they gave the guy mm-hmm. an award, and then they all made them go sit down, and I'm like, why did you do that? Like, if you're gonna bring them all up. Yeah, give the couple an award too. Like, why have them come up if you're not going to give them anything? It was very weird. It's like they didn't talk about this beforehand of what they were going to do. They kind of just did it on the fly. And I'm like, that was kind of, I don't know, it kind of felt rude, but they didn't seem too offended by it. It was just kind of confusing. So, Dinner for Six is very well done, but it's about this woman who poisons her friends because she hates them all. It's about her, she's assembling a meal. It's she's going step by step on how to make a pasta, but then she keeps saying an ingredient, mm-hmm. but she doesn't say what the ingredient is. And she just goes and add this, and it just shows her adding something, but doesn't say what it is. It's actually kind of funny. So it's like, you know, like make nice. The dough, do this, add the spices, chop up this. And it's like, and then add this. And then it keeps going. And you're like, wait. And then she poisons them all. And it was a great scene with like, they're all vomiting blood and shit. And it was very well done. I liked it. But I liked Helix the most. And it's kind of funny that this one won an award because I was already like, whoa, this is really good. So this also, weirdly, is about someone preparing a meal. And it's about this guy who's bought this new tablet. This, like, new, you know, the talky things that talk to you, whatever they're called. Siri, like a Siri type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A future technology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's bought this new Helix technology, and it can do like everything for him, and it anticipates his needs, and he is preparing a meal for his girlfriend that is coming over later, and he's using it as a step by step instruction on how to make the meal. So what do you think happens in this film? And keep in mind, it is a horror movie, so and it only takes place with him and in Helix in one room. That's like the entire film.
The only thing I can think about is, like, if I were taking a pretty good guess on it, is it tells him how to make something really fucked up, like, with uh-huh. really strange ingredients, and he ends up making that and then feeds it to her?
Kind of. So, what happens is he's going through the instructions, and Helix is starting to tell him to do things that aren't part of the meal. So Helix is like, oh, I see that your girlfriend's coming over soon. He's like, you should light some candles. And he's like, no, Helix, I don't want to do that. I just want to make this meal. And then it would be like, you should light some candles. Like, it wouldn't move on with the next step until he did what he said, like Helix said. Shit. So he's like, all right, I light the candles. He's like, you know what? That actually probably was a good idea. But eventually, Helix starts getting him to do some demonic weird shit. So Helix, the symbol for Helix is a spiral. And then Helix is like, draw salt and garlic in a spiral on your table. And then he's like, I don't want to do that, Helix. That doesn't make any sense. And it kept telling him to do it. And then it started showing him a video of his girlfriend. And he's like, what the fuck? And then it showed there's some kind of demon. And it has like, all you can see is its hands in a closet, like reaching out. And then it keeps telling him to do the spiral. And he's like, if I do this, will you not hurt my girlfriend? And it just keeps telling, it like shows video of him giving a thumbs up, you know? And like, that's how it's like weirdly communicating to him. So then he does it. And then it's like, then it tells him to cut himself on the fucking symbol. And he's like, oh man. He's like freaking out about it. And then he does it. And he basically ends up making a pact with the devil and loses his soul. It was good. It was good. That's, and his girlfriend finds amazing. His body. It was really well done. And it was actually pretty scary.
No, I really want to see that.
It was good. There's a lot of these I think you would
enjoy.
I'm
going to have to try to find that.
Some of them were cute and funny, and other ones were actually scary. There were some I was very surprised that they actually spooked me pretty good. So yeah, there's that is the festival. I mean, there's so much more. If you want to learn more about it, it's the sackhorrorfilmfest.com is the website. And you can look at all the films that I watched and that I talked about and maybe read about them. I'm sure there's ways to find them online. What I want to do is maybe give shout outs to some that I really liked and reach out to them, you know, I don't know, something, just to acknowledge, some of the work that a lot of these people put into making these. I just thought it was really neat. And, yeah, that's about it. Hey, so I guess it worked. Amazing. We did enough time to make this an episode. Awesome.
Spookoween.
That's right. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Facebook at indiefilmreview@facebook.com. We are on Twitter at indiefilmpod on Twitter if you'd like to talk to us. We also have a Gmail if you want to email us, send us a film you want us to watch, whether you made it or not, or maybe you just have an interesting film you want us to watch. It is theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
We're on Instagram at indiefilmreviewpod, and of course we are hosted by the lovely, the sultry, the... scandalous. That's Necropodicon, right. Network.
Yeah, they got tons of different cool podcasts you can listen on there. Just fucking hundreds of hours of entertainment on the necropodicon.com. I suggest you go check it out. And, you know.
Basically, yeah, check it out because you guys will get podcast envy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And review us on iTunes. Just give us positive reviews. Tell people about the show. This is the big thing I need to start saying. Fucking tell people about the show and tell them to watch it. Force your grandma to watch this show, okay? Force people who don't even know what podcasts are, make them listen. Make them listen. It would really help us out. I'd really appreciate it. So anyways, Dan, you have the final word.
Do I? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the SAC Horror Fest website, and there's like... Uh-huh. There's a really really good looking zombie lady on the
She has some assets.
On the little website there.
Yep. She got some
Thinking about some some things that we're not supposed to do to corpses.
No. Zombies with big tits. That'll be my next short film.
I'm just kidding. Bye.
Hello everyone, Adam here from the Gunpowder Treason No Plot podcast. The show you've just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. Visit necropodicon.com for a host of other podcasts, including our own misadventures in a 5th edition homebrew world of mad gods, crazed cults, and violent revolutions. Check out our new episodes every Monday on the Necropodicon Network.